You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Tomorrow's World is back this week. On this episode, we Isla and Stella will discuss how Mauturanga Māori can aid science in the management of Kauri dieback. They talk with Dr. Amanda Black and Dr. Nick Waipara about the cultural significance of Kauri in the scope of biosecurity in New Zealand. Here they are now.
Hi, Earthlings.
Welcome back to another episode of Tomorrow's World,
the Wire segment where we chat science, society, the future, and how it's all connected.
I'm Stella Huggins.
And I'm Isla Christensen.
Last week, we interviewed Dr. Emma Sharp from the University of Auckland about her ongoing program, Soil Safe Aotearoa.
This week, we have a special interview that relates to my own research on environmental management of Kauri dieback and the role of the media for both awareness and a space to give different voices and values of management space to be deliberated.
Last episode, we learned the importance of soil for our health, and this week we really get into the roots of it as we discuss how we can better manage a soil-borne pathogen that there is still no known research cure for yet.
Biodiversity, closed forests, timber, culture, tourism, recreation, they all relate to Kauri and are put at risk by Kauri dieback.
To give us a better insight on the history of Kauri and how Mauturanga Māori can be included in environmental management, here is a part of a conversation Isla had with Dr. Amanda Black, the co-director of Bioprotection Aotearoa, and Dr. Nick Waipara from Plant and Food Research.
Kia ora tātou, ko Nick Waipara tōku ingoa. My role in the Kauri dieback space has been a long and tortuous one, but also a remarkable one through array of amazing people I've met through it. So I guess Kauri dieback researcher would summarise it.
Well, kia ora koutou, I'm Amanda Black. I'm based at Lincoln University, but originally from the Bay of Plenty. I came to the Kauri research space by Nick Waipara and our joint program together that started in 2014, looking at the vectoring of the organism responsible for Kauri dieback across the fragmented landscapes and focusing on Waipoua Forest, which was the home of Tāne Mahuta and other Arako Rangatira.
We then discussed the role of Kauri as a taonga species and its significance.
Kauri feature very prominently in the conversation of those iwi in Taitokoro, obviously, and of course Tamaki Makaurau, and a little bit historically around Coromandel and I guess parts of Thames Coromandel, so very much around the Kaimais, I think. But that's the natural distribution of Kauri pre-1850s. Some of that might still be in living memory. But, I mean, if we go back prior to European arrival, Kauri featured very heavily in, I guess, a lot of traditional uses and storytelling around, particularly around Puuraku. So that's the story that involves creation.
Amanda highlights the importance of using cultural stories as narratives to guide environmental management, to extend biosecurity's Western lens. She touches on the history of Kauri management, which would extend the hapū level.
Most of the Pacific nations have, for every plant species there is on land, there is the equivalent of a marine species. And for the sake of Kauri, theirs is the tohoro whale. As far as I know, the story goes that they were both on land. His whale brother went to the sea and he tried to coax Kauri to come with him, but he was firmly rooted to the ground. He says, no, I'll stay here. And so the whale gave the Kauri his skin, and that is the shared ancestry, I guess, between the Kauri and the whale. And I guess if you look at the bark, it looks kind of like a whale covering skin, I guess. But that's why there's always a story about the tohora, the whale, and the Kauri, and how some rongo practitioners are using parts of the whale, which obviously have been, you know, beached, to cure some of the disease expression that they see on the trees. I mean, that's the reasoning behind that, that it helps. And there's other plant bioactives from rongo that they use as well. And so there's that part of the conversation that they're using to treat the Kauri infected with Phytophthora agathodicida, which is the organism that was officially named in 2015. But, I mean, aside from that, there's all this kind of evolutionary focus that disseminates out from Kauri And also there was a special use of kauri that sort of, I guess, transcended typical hapu resource boundaries and discussions, that if they were to use a kauri, I think many hapu would get together and decide upon its fate. It wouldn't be one hapu to decide that. It was usually came many hapu.
We then discussed the power of storytelling and the importance of cultural connections to the environment to assist management.
There's a really huge depth of tikanga and culture that emanate from kauri and what iwi Māori have throughout kauri lands. And the tales are often very reflective of the rohe or the area they're in. But I guess one of the biggest parts of that is how, you know, rangi and papa were separated. Earth, mother, sky, father were separated by one of their children. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? No. But, you know, tāne, mahuta, the children were trapped in between earth, mother, sky, father, and they needed space to breathe and move, as every child does. And it was tāne, mahuta, the big trunks of the rākau that pushed sky, father into rangi, up into the sky and created Papatūānuku, or how we see the land we live and breathe and live in. And the gods of the forest, Tāne Mahuta, god of the forest, god of the Ngāhere, that role around what Tāne did to give us life, that's a real powerful, that is one of the key stories that that you hear at Waipua. And you hear it throughout kauri land, but within it, there's all different lovely, rich cultural depths to that. And I think part of it is life is all connected. Te ao Māori, a very holistic view. And if I read this whakatauki, ko te kauri he whakarura haumau, te iwi katoa, kia toitū he whenua, kia toitū he kauri. So it's around the environment. We are the environment is us, that we're all interconnected. And so that the kauri provides the shelter and the life for the people. So it was that whakatauki really symbolises the real importance of that life and connection between human and tuakana.
I then asked about how kauri dieback is presented in mainstream media in New Zealand, and if this cultural voice was given space.
Personally, I see the cultural issue connects to the conservation issue, connects to the caring. Because let's face it, if it was a lichen or you know, something that doesn't have that mana and presence, but it also translates through to Pākehā and other cultures that live in Aotearoa. The Ranfuli shield is kauri, made out of kauri. The huge timber industry that led to, you know, the economic wealth of Aotearoa after the gold rush. You know, there's this whole interest by all New Zealanders, and that's the cultural interest in kauri, you know, what it symbolises as a wood, as an economy, and people love it. So it resonates through to why people care to conserve it, to why people then get upset when they see a biosecurity issue.
Aotearoa is home to many native species that make living here extra special. Research on kauri also suggests that the species is an efficient carbon sink.
With mature kauri forests containing more than 3,000 tonnes of carbon dioxide equivalent per hectare, among the highest carbon stock in the country.
It's evident that people care about Ngāhere for various reasons, and for many who live close to it, they might be fed up for closures to certain tracks. However, as we discussed today, it's important that effort is put into public awareness and actively including multiple knowledges.
Or as the Lorax nicely puts it, unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, it's not going to get better. It's not.
And that was Isla and Stella speaking with Dr. Amanda Black and Dr. Nick Waipara about the cultural significance of kauri and the scope of biosecurity in Aotearoa for this week's Tomorrow's World.
Their relationships with their girlfriends or their wife.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.